In a minute, Dad.
Dean ambled over to a rack covered with old-style wire coat hangers. An array of t-shirts was hanging from the rack. Jack followed, stepping as carefully as possible around the clutter.
Do you got any black ones?
They're all black. All XXL, too.
That's good. Allows you to grow into them.
I don't know. I think a boy Dean's age could use one of these things as a tent instead of a shirt.
Chet caught Doc looking dolefully at the piles and stacks of paper and grinned at him.
So what you're reading, fancy mister?
So many choices. I was actually hoping to find a volume of Chaucer.
And what issues did he draw? Did he work for Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image?
He is not an artist. He's a writer, you overstuffed cretin.
Oh, sorry. I get those guys mixed up sometimes. Artists, writers, inkers, letterers. Too many names. Got a title for this book?
The Canterbury Tales.
Chet looked blank for a few seconds, then reached behind him and plucked a chipped brown clipboard from a stack of papers and consulted a list.
Ooh, let's see. Got Marvel Tales, Weird Tales, Tales from the Dark Side, Sonic's Pal Tales, Tailspin, Shirt Tales, and Tales Guaranteed to Drive You Bats, but nope, no Canterbury Tales. Oh, sorry, hold up, I missed one. A Tale of Two Cities.
Dickens! Let me view it, please.
Let's see, that'd be in box 63A, row F.
Chet waddled out and pulled down a box from a wooden rack. He removed the lid, and inside were bagged and boarded comics. He pulled one out and handed it over with a flourish to Doc, who stared at the cover with a mild kind of horror.
Classics Illustrated?
Don't get a call for those anymore. You are a man of taste.
Wait a moment. I don't believe we're on the same page, to coin a phrase. I see all of the men's magazines and juvenile antics of the comics, and I appreciate your discovery of this crudely drawn mockery of the good Charles Dickens, but I wonder, dare I ask, if you have any books at all?
Positively, Granddad.
Ah, splendid. What kind?
What kind? We got big little books, golden books, tell me a story books, black and white and color graphic novels, both original and reprints, Whitman tell me a tale, wonder books, talking story books, but I'm afraid they no longer talk when you pull the string, and a near complete line of every TV paperback tie-in known to the historians.
Really?
You betcha, Granddad. What kind you want?
I believe I'm in need of that rare animal. Book book.
A book book? Never heard of it.
I'm not surprised.
Doc turned on his heel and walked out. According to the locals, the best place for food in Freedom, where the food was worth a damn, was an eatery formerly specializing in Southwest cooking. The exterior and interior of the crowded former fast food restaurant had been repainted in shades of green, but there was no disguising the faux Tex-Mex building facade and architecture. Mildred and JB sat out in the main eating area outside of the restaurant at a black metal mesh table with a wooden top, watching the people and waiting for their friends to join them.
Make a run for the border. That used to be this place's advertised motto.
Skipping borders is bad news. Why would they want to do that? Is some kind of food smugglers or what?
I always believed it referred to the eventual run to the bathroom. Tacos could be hard on the stomach of the uninitiated.
I'm hungry. Wonder where the others are. I'd like Ryan to be late.
We're in a shopping mall, JB. No man, woman, or child ever made it on time to a meeting place in a mall, especially one as huge as this. Ryan will be along. He's probably being held up by Dean and Doc wanting to go into every store they pass.
And Christy and Jack. Something in this gussied up warehouse for everybody.
How are your eyes feeling, John?
Good. Real good. That eye doc was true to his word in finding me a new pair similar to my old ones. These feel a bit thicker than my other pair, but other than that, my vision's as good as it ever was.
The glass is thicker because your eyes are getting weaker. Comes with age.
Bullshit. If losing your eyesight comes with age, Doc would be tripping and falling on his skinny ass everywhere he went.
I heard that, John Barrymore. I will have you know my skinny posterior remains upright. Thank you very much.
Age sure as hell hasn't affected his hearing.
Mildred smiled at the grousing as the rest of the group took up positions around the ornate bench. Jack peered intently at JB's glasses.
They look the same.
They are, practically. Got a backup pair, too.
Let's see the backups. I want to know what my duel with a sectoid paid for.
JB hesitated, and Mildred smothered a smile. She leaned forward and tried for a diplomatic expression.
Well, Ryan, the backup lenses and frames are much larger than this pair.
So?
So he doesn't think his backup pair of specs are very becoming to a man with his features.
Oh, now I've got to see him.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
JB made a show of searching through each and every pocket of his leather jacket before removing a black padded case. Off came the wire spectacles, which he placed gently on the tabletop. He snapped open the new black case and removed an oversized pair of purple frames and tinted lenses, which he angrily thrust on his frowning face.
There. Happy?
You bet.
Ryan fought hard not to laugh, but no one else looking at the bizarre sight shared Ryan's tact.
Laugh all you want. I think he looks like a rock star. Elton John would be proud.
Oh, hell.
The armorer's discomfort was eased when Mildred noticed Dean's new attire. The boy was wearing a black t-shirt, featuring a mass of silvery storm clouds and lightning superimposed over a large, unblinking single eye. The truth is out there was at the bottom of the shirt's hem, and on the back, in a broken typewriter font, another slogan read, "Trust no one." He grinned and turned, modeling it for JB and Mildred.
Christian Dad liked this one.
What can I say? The message struck me right funny. Guess if you keep looking long enough, you can find anything.
Well, I like the back. Trust no one might seem paranoid to some, but I decided that was a sentiment I could agree with without any debate.
Damn good advice for any halfway intelligent citizen of the Deathlands.
True, most of the time. Otherwise, it's kind of negative, don't you think?
Hell, Mildred, it beats the other shirts that fat guy was selling. What were they, Dean?
Most of them had a yellow mutie with a spiked head saying, "Eat my shorts." He had a lot of those. None of them had ever been worn, he said. Had a few with a man dressed like a bug. Some with guys playing pre-dark sports like basketball. Triple dull. This was the best of the bunch.
I can attest to that. That store owner was an idiot, and his collection of moldy paper useless.
Tried to get Jack to take a shirt, but he wasn't interested.
How that clothes had no message. I wanted a black shirt. They all had stupid pictures and shit.
Come on, let's get some grub. I'm starving.
The restaurant offered a truly stunning array of food, underscoring again the relative wealth and importance of Freedom Mall. When their orders were delivered, the friends decided to go back out to the central food court outside. Carrying their trays carefully, they looked for a place to sit. Ryan chose a table near a wall so they could be guaranteed of having one section safe. JB sat on his left and Dean on his right. Christy took the chair next to Dean. Jack, Doc, and Mildred completed the circle. All of them drank coffee sub or water or both, but they differed in food selections. Ryan had gone for a hunk of steak smothered in thick brown gravy with mashed potatoes and green peas, while Christy asked for and got a massive salad covered in dressing and breadcrumbs. Dean had selected glazed ham and fried apples. Mildred chose breakfast, scrambled eggs, strips of bacon, spicy hash brown potatoes, and dark toasted bread. JB also got eggs, but had his fried, with a side of chewy sausage patties and more of the bread. Nothing elaborate, but it was all good, filling food. Doc had selected his bowl of pinto beans smothered in onions, with a generous helping of cornbread on the side.
Mmm. I've never had a tastier platter of beans. This reminds me of another fine occasion.
No reminders, Doc. I like it fine here. Let me enjoy it.
Are you saying my company is less than stellar, young Corder? And I thought I contributed to the boy's education.
Dean's a growing boy, Doc. He needs more in the way of nightly entertainment than another discussion of the Crusades or the finer points of whether that Poe fella's poetry was as good as his short stories.
They were, Miss Roth. Perhaps his verse was even superior to his prose. The good Mr. Brody only started Dean's education. Alas, I fear the majority of the knowledge he needs to be well-rounded must come from within our merry little band of rogues. As the only educator here, I must accept my responsibility for his future development.
JB looked down through his new specs at the bottom of the empty mug.
I wish I had another cup of this coffee, but I sure as hell don't feel like getting back in that line for a refill.
Me too. Times like this, I miss having a waitress.
Yeah, Christy. Like that Sandy girl. The one we ran into back in Florida at that weird-ass Tucky's Roadhouse.
Don't remind me. I still carry visions of that horrible orange decor.
And of the mysterious pecan nut log. If only I'd been allowed a taste, Mildred.
One bite, and you'd probably still be back down in Florida, 6 feet under. I told you those damn things were probably over 150 years old.
But preserved. Perfectly preserved in their shiny red and white plastic wrappers. I still wonder what treasures were hidden inside.
A salty brown lump, hard enough to bash a man's skull in, or break out a few pearly white teeth.
Good Tuckies. Yum. Real sticky meat. Visit our petting zoo. Real live mutants.
I see it left an impression on one of us, anyway.
Still riding the high after the stress of the pit fight, Ryan gave in to a streak of humor and irony he didn't often indulge in. He grinned at Dean.
Okay, so the place was lacking in some of the refinements. But the food was good. We'd have gotten off without any trouble if those four clowns and the fancy Western duds hadn't come in wanting to pick a fight.
Still say you should have let me pet the muties, Dad.
You pet a mutie, and you come back with a few fingers shy of a hand, son.
Using his newfound status as the big winner of the day, Ryan decided to go ahead and stock up on as many supplies as their line of Freedom All Credit would allow. He imagined it would be some time before they encountered a vill with such a wide variety of choices. At Christie's suggestion, they went in search of some food that was practical to carry around in the less-than-ideal conditions of the Deathlands. It wasn't often they had this kind of choice. First off was a stop at one of the numerous markets that lined the interior corridors of the mall in search of supplies that would travel well, like jerky and dried fruit, and Ryan even allowed himself the luxury of buying a box of ribbon-striped stick candy for special occasions. Doc was big on banana chips, and Ryan had to restrain him from stuffing his pockets to bursting with the yellowish crispy treats. Some potato chips for immediate consumption, a few pull tabs of water, a canvas bag of coffee sub, and a box of crackers divided among the group ended the food shopping spree. All wanted to take along more, but knew overloading themselves with more than they could comfortably carry would prove wasteful in the long run. Besides Dean's new shirt, which was an admitted impulse buy, the only clothing any of the group really needed was fresh socks and underwear. A shop called Under the Covers provided long tables stacked high with plastic-wrapped supplies of socks. Underwear took some extra looking, and there were no bras to be found for the women. Trying to help conserve funds, Doc had made a show of announcing he was sticking with his genuine one-of-a-kind long johns, which made Mildred roll her eyes at him.
Keep wearing those moldy old drawers, and they're going to adhere to you like a second skin, Doc. One of these nights, I'll have to surgically remove the smelly things.
Smelly? You dare cast aspersions on my cleanliness, woman?
JB shook his head.
Oh, now you've gone and done it, Millie.
Doc struck a lecturer's pose, one hand on his hip and the other tugging at the lapel of his frock coat.
I will have you know, my personal hygiene is beyond reproach. On occasion, this extra layer of clothing I wear might be a burden during times of warmth, but who's the one enjoying the insulation when a brittle chill settles down around us at night? Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner, that's who.
Mildred lifted the back of her hand to her brow and struck a shrinking violet pose.
Alas, once again I, Dr. Mildred Winona Wyeth, have been struck down by the irrefutable logic of a doddering old fool in a threadbare pair of long johns. What can I do but admit defeat? Defeat!
At last she admits it. I have witnesses, witnesses! Ryan, we must race post-haste to a notary public so that I might have this moment legally documented and signed.
No can do, Doc. I'll pony up for a pair of black socks for your feet, though.
You are a kind man, my dear Ryan. Much too kind.
The place was wearing on everybody, and once the needed items were located, Ryan plunked down the charge chit for all. JB gave Ryan a thoughtful look.
Another thing, we need to stock up on some ammo if prices aren't too high.
Only one way to find out.
Strangely enough, when they reached the designated area for firearms and ammunition, the storefront was abandoned, closed and empty. JB checked with the shop's neighbors and discovered it had sold out the inventory over a month earlier. The owner hadn't been seen since. Dean looked gravely at Ryan.
What do you think happened, Dad?
I don't know, son. I do know one thing, though. We're gonna have to continue to conserve on bullets.
Upon his return to their bunk room at Freedom Center Station,